Our guest is Dr. Ellen Moyer. She's an author, speaker, and an environmental engineer. And the question we had before we went to the break, which of our major, some of our key issues, climate change, toxic chemicals, pesticides, groundwater, plastics, which one is there one that's worse than the other one, Ellen?
Well, they're all dire, of course, but I think climate change is the one that we should focus the most on because the other ones are related to it. For example, if we are working to help the climate, we're going to turn from industrial agriculture to organic agriculture because organic releases far fewer greenhouse gases, so it's much better for the climate. So in tackling climate change and looking at the sector of agriculture, we're going to make changes that also reduce the use of pesticides or eliminate the use of pesticides. So that clears up that problem. Also, toxic chemicals, a lot of them are created from petroleum and also halogens, things like chlorine and fluorine, things like that. There's a new push called green chemistry, where people try to make chemicals that are safe for the environment and human health, and many of them emit far fewer greenhouse gases. So that by working on our chemical industry sector to address climate change, we can also take care of some of the toxicity issues involved with chemicals.
Okay.
Groundwater depletion, most of that's being done. All the major aquifers in the world are being depleted as people pump out groundwater for agriculture. That's the biggest user. So if we were to go from industrial agriculture to organic agriculture, we're going to use less water because in organic agriculture, we beef up the soil. We add organic matter, and the soil is able to hold on to water better, and the crops need less water. So there's another example of how addressing climate change will take care of, or partially take care of, this other problem.
Okay.
So everything is kind of related in this whole ecosystem of industries. And if we have the one objective of climate change, we're going to clear up a lot of other problems.
Okay. We've got a caller for you. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning. And I think taking care of the earth, I think everybody agrees that's an important thing. My question, I guess, is on the subject of quote climate change unquote. I think everybody that pays attention knows that there has been climate change, not for 100 years, not for 1,000 years, not for 10,000 years, but for millions and millions of years. Would you agree with that?
There have been fluctuations, but what we're seeing now, I don't think there's any doubt that it's mostly human-made, and the only people who aren't saying that are getting paid to say it's not caused by humans. So I think we're beyond that now. I think it's kind of like the Earth is flat type of thing. Everybody knows that the Earth isn't flat, although there's still a flat Earth society. But even they believe in climate change.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What percentage of the climate change that we are seeing is indeed man-made as defined by carbon emissions that are not from volcanoes, et cetera, but are from the release from coal, et cetera?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that just because
that's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem.
No, it's because because I haven't studied it. I rely on other scientists to tell me that part of it, and so I haven't dug into the details. But I'm sure other people have and could tell you. In fact, I bet if you Googled it, you'd come up with the answer right away.
These answers be, I would like to look at the funding from these answers as well. Just as you say, people are being paid. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that it's undeniable that the level of carbon gases is going up. That is undeniable. It's measurable. And yet, I think that the percentage, is it 5%? Is it 10%? Is it 100%? No, it can't be probably 100%. Can we choke back the carbon emissions and help? Okay, maybe. How much? We don't know.
Well, the way I look at it is, it doesn't really matter what the cause is. It's clear that it's damaging. So for whatever reason, there is too much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, so we need to do whatever we can to bring that down.
Would that include population control?
I believe that we need to do what Newsweek magazine suggested, and that is to provide contraceptives to all the women in the world who want them, because Newsweek did a study of this, and they said in 2012 that the world population increased by 80 million, and they said that coincidentally, the number of unwanted pregnancies in the world was 80 million. So they said, hey, let's give women the choice of whether they want to have kids or not, and we'll stabilize the climate. I mean, stabilize the population. And they also estimated that by doing that, greenhouse gas emissions globally would go down between 8 and 15%. So population is a factor, but we have solutions at the ready that we're not using.
So you would be in favor of encouraging population control to control climate change?
I don't know about encouraging, but at least giving women the option, you know, the choice of what they want.
Would you be in favor of giving those who drive vehicles the choice of doing what they want?
Well, I think we can set up the economic incentives to do certain things, but we should have things like fuel efficiency standards, which we have been having, and we ratchet those down, and people adjust, and they, you know, at first the car makers yell and scream, and then they make the changes, and you don't hear much complaining. So
those economic incentives include population control?
Economic incentives, I don't know. There already are economic incentives, aren't there? Because many women in developing countries or in agricultural settings, sometimes people have kids for farm labor, so there's an economic incentive. And then in developed countries, it's very expensive to have kids, so there's kind of an economic incentive already, isn't there? That's probably not the first place I would put a lot of attention on. I would think things like conservation and efficiency and clean energy would be really good places to start, and protecting our forests. We're foolishly cutting down the trees that take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. So I guess there would be higher priority things to start with in my mind.
Which gets back to politics, I guess, doesn't it?
Oh, all of this involves politics, yeah.
Are you a Democrat?
I am.
Yeah, I figured. Okay, well, you know, I think it all goes back to, on one hand, freedom, and on the other hand, responsibility. On one hand, control, and on the other hand, you know, again, freedom and responsibility. And as this tips back and forth, I think sometimes people like to use science as a manipulating tool both ways. And under the guise of paid science studies, incentivizing deliberation in one way or the other, they achieve their political goals through the proxy of science. And to me, that is disingenuous. In other words, the temperatures are what the temperatures are. Do not go back and revisit records, revise records, to complete a narrative that you politically would like to see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you can Google until you find things to support your opinion. But I need to say right off the bat that I've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of hours on climate change and have not gotten paid. So I am not among the people getting paid. I would love to get paid, but
I'm
not.
Have you ever been to Kelly's Island?
No. Mm-mm. Where is that?
Okay. Kelly's Island is an island in Lake Erie. Kelly's Island is about a mile or so offshore from Sandusky, Ohio. And the unique thing about Kelly's Island, they have a state park there, that they have these ice grooves. And are you
ice
familiar with
groove?
What ice grooves are?
No. Maybe I couldn't hear you. Ice grooves? Can you spell
ice
it?
Grooves. I-C-E, like glacier, ice grooves.
I heard the first word. What was the second?
Grooves. Like
grooves.
Groove on an LP.
Okay.
Okay. And these ice grooves, and you could look it up, you could Google it, you could do Google Images, ice grooves, Kelly's Island, whatever you want to do, and you will see that you'll be reminded that virtually all of Lake Erie, 10, 12, 15,000 years ago, never lost its ice cover. And what you will see when you go to Kelly's Island is you will not only see these ice grooves carved in these limestone, on the limestone island. Of course, limestone comes from fish bones, which means it was all covered by water at one time. But you'll see all these ice grooves, the actual places where the rocks were dragged along by the glaciers. And since it was only 10 or 12,000 years ago, even where these rocks dragged are not eroded yet. The wind and the rain from the last 10, 12,000 years has not even eroded where these rocks were dragged along by these glaciers that covered Lake Erie. So I guess my point is, we have a trajectory, a direction that the world has been going for the last 12, 13, 14,000 years, which you can see manifested on Kelly's Island. I think it'd be very instructive and very interesting for you to go to Kelly's Island and see these ice grooves that still have the rock dragged marks where these glaciers covered Lake Erie. So for us to say, well, you know, man came along 150 years ago,